This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So when I was thinking about what to preach on today in the Episcopal tradition, we refer to as Trinity Sunday. It's a day where we recognize this three capacities of God, right? God as God the Father, God as God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God as the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday, we invited and welcomed and remembered the day that the Holy Spirit blew across the followers of Jesus and ignited and inspired them to take the message, as we hear in Matthew's gospel today, to take it to all nations and baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so I was thinking that today, at Trinity Sunday, is somewhat unique to our tradition as Episcopalians. I believe the Catholic Church celebrates Trinity Sunday. Other churches, maybe denominations, the Lutherans, perhaps the Presbyterians. But it is something unique that we remember annually in the Episcopal Church. And so I was thinking, what does it mean to be Episcopalian? Right? So St. John's Episcopal Church. What does that mean to be Episcopalian? And I was reminded of comedian Robin Williams. Maybe some of you remember him. And he had a bit that he would do called the top 10 reasons to be an Episcopalian. Number 10, he said, was there's no snake handling. Number 9, and this fits well with our Genesis reading today, you get to believe in dinosaurs. Number 8, male and female, God created them, male and female, we ordained them. Number 7, you don't have to check your brains at the door. And again, we'll talk about that more as we look at our reading from Genesis. Number 6, which some of you have already enjoyed today, is pew aerobics. Number 5, the church year is color-coded. Last week we were red, today we're white. And this summer we'll be green. Number 4, you get free wine on Sundays. That's right, friends, not grape juice in that chalice. Number 3, all of the pageantry and none of the guilt. Number 2, you don't have to know how to swim to get baptized. And the number 1 reason, he says, that no matter what you believe, there's bound to be at least one other Episcopalian who agrees with you. When I was in seminary, we used to joke as people would talk about the Holy Trinity or any of these huge theological, like this understanding of God questions. We're like, just ask any seminarian, you'll get a different answer. So one of the beautiful things about the Episcopal tradition is that we do celebrate the three-legged stool, where we think in terms of understanding and knowing who God is and how God is involved in our life and in the world. And those three things are tradition, all the pageantry. Oh, we love our pageantry. The other one is Holy Scripture. If ever there is a tradition that isn't in line with Holy Scripture, everything that we do has to be in line with Holy Scripture. And number 3 is reason. You don't have to check your brain at the door. So when we start this morning with the very beginning, the book of Genesis, and we hear the creation story, and those of you who grew up in a church or even a church family, that may have been one of the first stories you remember hearing. Second only to Noah's Ark and the Great Flood. So we hear this story of creation in the book of Genesis. And if we read it literally, God made the world in 7 days. 6 days, actually, because on the 7th day, he did what?
Rest.
He rested. We should probably remember that this day and age. God worked and God rested. So we have this idea that the world was created in a week's time. Now, as we have grown and science has evolved, we know that it actually took millions and millions and billions of years to get to where we are today. And some would argue, perhaps, that that's in conflict with Scripture, and so therefore it can't be true. Or vice versa, Scripture doesn't make sense, and so therefore it can't be true. So how do we, as people with reason and understanding and a life in Jesus Christ, marry these two understandings? Well, the first way, and I love to talk about this when we do our adult classes, is there's two different things. Truth is not necessarily the same thing as fact. You can have truth and it not be fact. The problem is the world that we lived in always wants to assign everything to fact. So when we think about the creation of what we know, the truth is it is all created in the image of God. When we think about the facts, the Big Bang and evolution and the world that we inhabit today and how it is even always evolving, does not change the truth that is all created in God. But what we understand here from Genesis is from the very beginning, God gave us, the human race, authority over creation. And we, the human race, in many ways, continue to abuse that authority. God gifted all of us with the ability to lead the sea, the animals of the sea and the birds of the air, every growing, living, breathing thing. They were a gift for us. So we would be remiss today if we didn't leave with at least a little bit of responsibility about how we remember to take care of God's creation. And when we think about how it talks about God separated the waters and the earth, the first generations of peoples didn't understand, right? Do you guys remember when we all learned that the world was not flat? That the world is actually round? And then we learned that there are actually more planets, but right now in our galaxy, ours is the only one that's sort of designed to sustain human life. But then we learned there are other galaxies. And now, friends, I was at Hip Pocket Deli the other day getting lunch, and if you've ever been there, you need to go. But it's very popular with our military. And now there is a flag along with the Navy and the Marine Corps and the Army that is the Space Force. The world just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and we are understanding that God's creation knows no bounds. And who knows, maybe one day there will actually be Star Wars. But back in the beginning, people didn't understand the massiveness, and they actually believed that there was a dome over where they lived. And when they say he separated the waters, they actually thought that rain lived on top of the dome. And that when it rained, it like leaked through the dome. So that rain was different than the rain that we had on the earth. But now, as science has taught us, we know different. We know that the water that's in the sky actually comes, right, from the water that's on the earth. But it doesn't change the truth that God knew that his creation would need water. And then it talks about how God created the seas, the animals of the sea and the birds, and how they would all rely on each other, all of the things that grew, all the creepy crawly critters. The fact may be that we know that those evolved over time. If you've ever been to a dinosaur museum. But the truth is, God created all living, breathing things to live together. The Lion King, circle of life. You can't have one without the other. And then as we read in the Hebrew scriptures, when we talk about, and God breathed every breathing thing, that word of breath, that means every living, breathing thing on this planet has the breath of God that gives it life. So if we understand it in this way, again, what is our responsibility in understanding that every living, breathing thing inhabits the breath of God? And we think about the Holy Trinity as God says, let us make man and woman in our image. Notice how God says our image is how it's translated. It's like, where are there multiple gods? But if we look at the gospel according to John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and we understand the Word as Jesus Christ. So we could also look at Genesis and say, in the beginning, God was there, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God breathed into everything that God created this life-giving force. And that as we inhabit this world and this life-giving force, each of us have it. The moment we take our first breath, each of us has this life-giving force. And as we move about in this world and this life-giving force, we are called, friends, just as Jesus says in Matthew's gospel. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We are required, as inhabiting the breath of God, to recognize that every person we encounter also inhabits the breath of God. Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded to you. If we go back in the Holy Scriptures, there were two commandments: love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love and embrace that life force that God has breathed into all of humanity. And then Jesus says, remember, I will be with you always to the end of the age. Because the truth is, we're going to come up short. The truth is we're going to come up short, but the truth is also that Jesus is always with us, that God is always there when we're ready to return. And if we can have grace enough to forgive ourselves when we turn away, then the call is to have grace for others who have also turned away. So as we read through these Holy Scriptures, there is a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of responsibility for us to remember that we are created in the image of God. And if I'm created in the image of God, then that means all of you are too. That means all of your neighbors are created in the image of God. All the people that you don't get along with are created in the image of God. All the people that you can't stand are also created in the image of God. The people that make you most angry are created in the image of God. That's a hard one. But we're called today to remember from the very beginning, this was God's plan. From the very beginning, we were all called to remember the truth that we are all created in the image of God. From the very beginning, we were all called to remember that every living, moving, breathing thing, and that includes trees and plants. If we learned anything in science, right? They need oxygen and water and air to survive. Everything that has the breath of life was given from God. And so with those two things, how do we continue to inhabit this world and this time and this place? As we continue to learn and know and grow and understand the way the world works, it does not diminish the truth of God in all of creation. Rather, what it does is it awakens our senses to knowing how we can do better. Last week, I was lucky enough to have a conversation with a member here of the church who lives over here on Bayou Chico. And she was very excited because the Bayou Chico, this organization, I don't know if you're familiar. If you're not from Pensacola, you may not know. Bayou Chico is very polluted. This beautiful piece of water here. And it comes from decades and decades of manufacturing, right? So when you have a harbor, back in the olden days when you would ship things in, you would build manufacturing on the harbor. And over time, all this manufacturing polluted the water. But now we know better. So now we do better. And I was excited to hear that now there's a group of people trying to figure out how we can clean it. And we can hope that one day fish will swim in it again. That one day people will enjoy recreation in the water, not just on top of the water. There are opportunities all around us. It doesn't have to be on a massive scale. You see, because each one of us is called to our time and place to support and encourage all of God's creation, wherever we are. Simple things can make a big difference. I'm a big fan of the water, and I recently read a book about oysters. Yeah, I know, a whole book about oysters. Who is familiar with oysters? Just a show of hands. Who enjoys eating oysters? Just a show of hands. So did you know that the best oysters in the world, they were considered a delicacy back in the 17th and 18th centuries. They were considered a delicacy. New York City had the best oysters in the entire world. Guess what? New York City does not have the best oysters in the entire world. But did you know that one oyster can clean 50 gallons of water in a single day? These crusty little things that we enjoy are actually an entire creature. You all, creation is phenomenal. And it is all meant to survive and to fulfill and to feed each other, however that may work in the life cycle of the world. But what happens when we are not responsible with creation, when we abuse it or misuse it, as the harbors did in New York, and they would harvest the oyster shells, and there were mounds of oyster shells. Buildings in New York City are built on top of mounds of oyster shells, and we know now you're supposed to put them back. But when we abuse and misuse what God has given us, generations after us have to return it. And I believe that we are in the perfect time and place to ask these questions. That if we believe that everything around us has the breath of life, what might we do differently? If we believe that every time we make a choice, and we thought about the impact it may or may not have on the breath of life, what might we do differently? Because the truth is, as science continues to expand, as we continue to explore outer space with the Space Force, more and more and more we're going to learn new things and new ways to do things. And when we know better, we can do better. And when we think about the stars that we read about in Genesis, that God created the stars. I believe there was a scientific study not that long ago that said everything, all human beings are to some degree are made up of stardust. Friends, you can't get more connected to life and the world around you than that. So while some may read Genesis and say, well, that's just crazy, we know better now. We, as Christians, could read Genesis and say, absolutely true. We are all the breath of life of God. Everything that we do impacts everything else from God. How we interact with one another impacts how God is able to interact in our world. How we encounter the image of God in each other impacts how God is able to act in this world. and the heavens and the earth were finished. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that was done, and he rested. God worked, and God rested. So God blessed the seventh day, and he hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that God had done in creation. And God said, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. We are the generations of the heavens and the earth. Amen.